All right, and today, very quickly, I'm going to move through this. The whole month is this theme, and I just want to call it this, the way of the wise. The way of the wise. And I want to just give you five things here. Six things the Lord hates, seven detestable to Him. Five ways to pursue wisdom. The passage that we meditated on here says what? Where does it start? Where does it start? Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning, the starting point, the starting line. That's where it starts, the fear of the Lord. It's not the only place the Bible talks about it. Psalm 111 verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts, all who follow His laws, all who follow or walk in His counsel have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Psalm 111, those who will follow His precepts, walk in His counsel, will have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. So this whole book that Solomon took the time, and others, there's a couple of writers in the book of Proverbs, although most are accredited to Solomon here. It's full of instruction for us on based around three things. And the book of Proverbs, when you look at it, is always going to be based around these three things. The first is godly purpose. All right, God has a design and a desire for us, and that ultimately is that we are like Him, that we think like Him, that we behave like Him, that we are conformed to the likeness of His Son, that we become the statement of His person in the world that we live in. And we can't do it if we don't know how He responds, if we don't know what His ways are like. So a good place, if you don't want to just, you know, try and do the big understanding of Genesis through Revelation, some people say, you know, start reading in the book of John, understand the love of God. Well, I don't mind if people start by going, I want to know how to live and what are God's ways. Good, read the book of Proverbs. It is full of godly purpose. The second thing that Proverbs is built around here is this, wise living on our part. It's not enough to just have concept about this stuff. It's about living it out. There's no point in knowing what to do and not doing it. The book of James talks about it. I referred to it a little bit last week. But then thirdly, observation. I'll talk a little bit about this in just a moment. But Proverbs are based on those three key things: godly purpose, wise living on our part, and observation. The worst thing that you can do, unless the Bible says, the Lord says, is turn everything into rigid rule. The book of Proverbs is not full of rigid rule directives. In fact, some of the stuff that's written in Proverbs, it is wise living. But it's not always foolproof. Why? Because we're involved. All right? We're involved in the living out of this stuff. We live in a community of people that we may act wisely, but people may not respond in the same wise or prudent manner. So we can't, with all the Proverbs, just go, this is law. If I do, this will be the result. A wise action on our part is always right. All right? A wise action on our part is always right. But a wise action on our part cannot control or determine another person's response. Let me say that again. A wise action is always right. But a wise action on our part cannot determine or control another person's response. When you look through the book of Job, when you look through the book of Ecclesiastes, when you read through some of the Psalms, you will see that this is quite true. David makes decisions to honor God and honor the king, Saul, and Saul does what? Tries to kill him. So he spends years on the run for doing what? Right. You read in the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon goes through this obviously pretty difficult, reflective time in his life, in his writing, going, what's the point of all this? Doesn't seem to work. But he comes to the end of his writings in that, and he says, here, I'll sum up the whole matter. Fear God. Do what he says. So even in... Do you get what I'm saying, though? Don't read the Proverbs and go, cause and effect. It's always going to work. Cause, effect. Do, this will be done. It's not designed like that. A lot of this is... It's observation. So there is godly wisdom, and then there is a godly purpose, then our wise living, and then observation. So how do we acquire wisdom? I'm going to move quite quickly through this. Proverbs 1:7, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Now I want to read you Eugene Peterson's interpretation of this. In the message. And I would encourage you, read whatever version you're reading of the Proverbs. And if you've got a copy of Eugene Peterson's The Message, read it alongside. If you don't have a paper copy, you can go online, you can look up Blue Line Bible, you can look up all sorts of different Bibles, and they're just right there on the internet. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 in The Message reads like this: start with God. I love those first three words of Eugene's interpretation. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. So Eugene says this: start with God. Honor him, recognize his position, recognize who he is. Start right there. There's a lot of scholars that actually would say that this verse is really the theme of the entire book of Proverbs. There's all sorts of wisdom, but if you don't have this foundational thing in place, it's not going to make sense. We build a house of cards on no foundation. But if we realize that God is the one who is most worthy of honor, that he is the source of life, that he is the source of wisdom, start right there. And then the rest will follow. Every wise statement in Proverbs really goes back to this. And I'll come to this verse again in a moment. But James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, do what? Ask God, because he will give it abundantly. So where do we start? Always start with God. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord has two components or two sides to it. The first is this: hate evil. Hate evil. Hate sin. Avoid sin, whatever way that we can. Avoid it. So hate evil, and secondly, delight in doing God's will. It's not enough to just say, oh, I hate evil. The other side of it is we must be engaged in doing God's will. Now, we have some interesting things in our world right now. There's masses of injustice in our world. There's all sorts of things that are happening, and we look at that and go, man, I hate that. I hate what is happening in nations. I hate what is happening on Manus Island. That's my position on some things. I hate social injustice. There are things that I really can't stand, and some of them are my position on things, and I'm not telling you what to think. But the question beyond that is, what am I doing about it? Because otherwise, it just becomes this emotional response. And the fear of the Lord is not just an emotional response. The fear of the Lord is not to just be opposed to things, but it is also to act in righteousness. Let me say that again. The fear of the Lord is not just to be opposed to things or say, oh, I hate those things, but it is to act or engage righteously, to engage in justice, to align ourselves with those who are being treated unjustly. And this is sometimes really difficult. And the question comes, how do we do that? Well, begin to ask God to show you ways. There are ways that you can be involved in all sorts of responses, whether they be petitions or fundraising or physically getting involved in things or going places. I have to tell you, I am excited about a move that I believe God is stirring again in Good Life. We have always been a community of people that want to engage our local community, our nation, and the world. And many years ago, we began sending out missional partners into the nations. And of recent years, some of them have begun to come back, some after 10 years out in the nations. And they've begun to come back. And I probably, becoming aware of this, started praying, God, what's gonna stir our next generation? Are we going to have to do this missional call? Are we going to have to, like, you know, do this series and say, come on, you know, rise up? And last Sunday night, we just prayed for some folk that were going out, and I began to sort of go through them in my head. And last Sunday night, we prayed for 7 of our 20-somethings who are all taking steps or have taken steps to engage and go into the nations. Tommy Stubbs going up into Indonesia, a year minimum commitment. Amelia Easton gone over to Guatemala, a year minimum commitment. Brittany, she's preparing right now final paperwork to go over into Nepal, a year minimum commitment. Lily going up into Thailand, Kristen, I believe, going up into Malaysia, and my kids. Holly really believes she has that call to go and be a light and do her music, and my son's joining her. And we just had all of these young people, 20-something, some teenagers lined up here that we are laying hands on and praying for, and they're going. These are people whose hearts are moved to respond on behalf of the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you that out of this community of believers, whether it is locally in our community that we are serving, whether it is in our nation, or whether it's going into the nations, God is moving. That's something that you should be encouraged about, but I want to ask you, pray. Pray for them. Pray for them as they go. One of them, you know, Amelia on her way, already got mugged in Guatemala, but she's in this place, she's going, this is awesome. I'm going out on behalf of the kingdom of God. So, celebrate it, but pray for them. Blessed, Psalm 112, verse 2, blessed is the man who fears the Lord and finds great delight in doing His commands. Secondly, the way of the wise How do we attain wisdom? Secondly is this, passionately pursue it. Proverbs chapter 4. Well, there's chapter 1, 3, 4. There's loads of places where this sort of theme comes up, but it says this, get wisdom, get understanding, esteem wisdom, embrace wisdom. And there's this idea that it's not just words. It is that we have to actively pursue it. Look for it and look not just for the knowledge of it, but look, going back to the fear of the Lord, how to practice it. How do I take this on and actually engage with it in my life? Passionately pursue it. Where does it start? James 1:5. This is where I said I would bring this in. I probably pray this verse of Scripture more than any other. I tend to start my day just rehearsing this verse mentally. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of me, and I will give it abundantly without finding fault. But when he asks, don't doubt, because when you doubt, you're like a wave that is tossed to and fro on the ocean, and who thinks they should receive anything from God? Now, let me explain what this is saying. We tend to, if we've memorized any of it, we quote the last bit. Don't doubt. Because when you doubt, you're like a wave tossed to and fro upon the ocean, and who thinks they should receive anything from God? Pulling that out pulls it completely out of context. What that verse is saying there is God says, come and ask me for wisdom, and I will give it to you abundantly. But when I give it, don't line it up with all the other things that you think and try and weigh it up as to which one suits you best. Don't just throw it in the pile. Don't ask God for wisdom and all your buddies for wisdom and read these common, you know, books on positive thinking and everything else and then go, well, actually, God, you said that, but I think I'm going with this one. God says, do not be double-minded. Because when you are, you will be unstable and unsettled, and don't think that I'm going to empower that wisdom to you when you don't even believe me. All right? So when we do that, you will become unstable in all your ways. When you ask God, trust Him, hold on for Him to lead you. Why? Because He says He will. He will. He will give us wisdom. Sometimes we're so quick to act. Oh, I got to do something. I need to do it. And whatever's at hand, we just engage and do. And who in us has fallen on our faces doing something that we thought was wise at the time? Man, I have so many times. And that's why I choose. I bet you multiple times daily. I know it's daily, but multiple times daily, I'm like, God, please give me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. I need your wisdom. I'm trusting you to lead me. And after years of asking that, I really believe that God has given me wisdom. I don't always act prudently. Sometimes my mouth gets ahead of me. But I feel like in my heart, God has given wisdom. So how does it start? How do you pursue wisdom? First, admit you need it. Humble yourself. Most of us, when we don't ask for wisdom, the biggest problem is pride. We go, oh man, it's stupid. I should know that. I should already know how to do that. I should already know what to say. I should already know what's wise. I feel so dumb asking. I feel like I shouldn't need to go to anyone. That's independent self-sufficiency. And God says this, depend on me. Come to me. Ask of me. God wants you to admit that you need. We live in a world that says we should be self-sufficient. God says, no, you shouldn't. I actually created you with need. Need for me. Need for my wisdom. Need for knowledge. It starts with humbling ourselves. It's not foolish. The first step of wisdom, fear the Lord. The second, ask. Third, take God at His word. Believe it and live it. The Bible is not just wisdom in Proverbs, the whole story. You can learn from people's good decisions, you can learn from people's bad decisions. But take God at His word. It's in the Bible for a reason. I don't think God ever just wastes words. I don't think He ever just says anything just to say it. It's said with purpose. I used to try and discipline myself to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. Because there's these 31 chapters of Proverbs and 31 days in most months, and you can read just a chapter to start your day. I'm not as disciplined at that now, but there was a season I would just read a chapter of Proverbs. My reading used to be 5 Psalms, 1 chapter of Proverbs. And you just find that you begin to have this word in you. Fourthly, how do you pursue wisdom? Develop the art of observation. It's interesting. The book of Proverbs is full of the art of observation, that God has given us senses and keen senses, and we should learn from these things. There's many proverbs that you know that don't come from the book of Proverbs. Anyone ever heard the proverb, "Don't run with a pair of scissors"? Where'd that come from? I bet it came from observation. Anyone ever get told, "Don't stick a fork in the electrical outlet to the PowerPoint"? Don't. Why? Observation. There's lots of things that are part of our lives that are wisdom, and heaps of them come from observation. So I would say this: open your eyes, learn from yours and others' mistakes. I learned something on the internet yesterday. Now, I've known a little bit about this, but I saw this video clip called "People versus Winter." I thought, note to self, don't try and drive down a steep hill covered in ice. Someone just stood there with a video camera. There were buses trying to drive down this hill, whole buses just doing 360s. I'm like, I think I could learn from that. I don't need to do it. So many things you can learn from observation. I put this down: conscience-based common sense. Conscience-based. God says that He's actually written His precepts on our hearts. We know we have conscience. And you combine God's conscience. Now, I know there are people that have seared their consciences, and they're probably not going to act wisely by nature. And then common sense. But then I also realize there are people that don't seem to have a lot of common sense. But conscience-based common sense. Now, I would encourage you with this: share your life lessons. That's what Solomon is doing a lot of the time here. I wonder how many of Solomon's proverbs were based on his own experience. I wonder if Solomon wrote the proverb, "Don't grab a dog by the ears," because he learned it himself. There are certain things I think that Solomon says to his children because he goes, "Man, if I wanted my kid to know something, what would it be? What did I do? What wouldn't I have them do?" When my daughter first left home, I used to lie awake at night going, "Okay, think. What are all the stupid things that I've done? What are the things I did when I left home? What are the things I did when I traveled? What are the things that I would say to my daughter, please don't do it?" Now I'm lying awake at night because my son's leaving going, "Oh man, now I'm thinking as a boy. You know, what are all the things that I would say to my son? Don't, please, and do this and do that and pursue this." because I want my son to learn from things that I messed up in. And the things that I've done that were prudent and wise and had good results, I want to pour those into my kids. And then I have a responsibility, you know, leading a community of believers in Jesus, I think I have a responsibility to tell my story. I tend to be fairly transparent when I speak. And I actually once had another minister that came to me and I was sharing some story and he said this to me. Don't keep preaching the way that you do because you don't give people anything to aspire to. I went, what? He's like, you can't tell everyone all the places that you mess up. I'm like, yes, I can. And yes, I will. Because that's where the grace of Christ has been so beautifully enacted in my life. That's where I've learned so many things about the character of God and about myself. And I'm not telling stories so that you feel hopeless. I'm telling you stories so that you might take a hold of hope. Because if that guy can come through, then dear God, thank you that I can. That's why I often share stories the way I do. Actually, the first week of April, we go into the whole topic of salvation. And the way we're going to handle some of those weeks of salvation is you're going to hear stories of your leaders' journeys towards salvation. That first week of April, you're going to hear most of my, well, portions of my story. I couldn't say most of because I just turned 50 the other day and that would take too long. But I'll share that journey towards Jesus. And it's a story that was pretty messy. But the grace of God is so wonderful in that. So anyway, share your stories, especially with your children. Not just your stories of failure and success, share your observations. You look at Proverbs, there's a few things that I think are really interesting. In Proverbs it says this, I saw and I considered it, and I looked and I received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, and poverty will come upon you like a robber. And in that proverb, in chapter 24, it seems that someone's walking along a road and sees this property, and the wall is broken down, and the yard's overgrown with weeds, and the whole place is in disrepair. And he walks past this property, and he's like, I don't want my place to end up looking like that. Walls broken down, weeds overgrown, house falling apart, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little I'll do that later. And you end up in ruin. You go to Proverbs chapter 6, and Solomon says this, consider the ant. So, and he talks about how it doesn't toil and consider its ways and what? Be wise. Verse 7, it has no commander, no overseer, nor ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? Again, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come your way like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. You can just picture Solomon. He's taking a little bit of time and he's just squatting there watching ants. And he follows them. They're all carrying the little crumbs of food or the grains of wheat. And then he follows them to their hole. And, you know, being the inquisitive kid he was, he probably scrapes the top off the ant's nest to look at, man, what's... You can learn so much just by observation. And fifthly this, be a learner. Always be a learner. John Kelly, you've got the whitest hair I can see from here right now. John and Jean Kelly, never assume that you already know enough. John and Jean, fine, upstanding senior members, long-term believers in Jesus. But I know John and Jean, and they would say this, we know that we still need to learn and know more. Elijah Jeffs, never think that you've achieved enough, know enough, have learned enough. As young as you are, as old as you are, Audrey, I just saw your little face back there. Always learn new things, always discover new things, always look for those things that draw us in. Be a learner. A wise person will align their life with God's principles and God's purpose. When you read the Bible, you understand that God has a purpose from beginning to end, that we might know Him, that we might walk in His ways, and ultimately that we might be with Him. And so how do we do it? The way of the wise. How do we acquire wisdom? Let's read them together. Number one, fear the Lord. Hold it there. What did fear the Lord mean? Hate evil and delight in what's right. Hate evil and delight in right. All right, so say that one again. The first is fear the Lord. Hate evil and delight in right. Secondly, passionately pursue wisdom. How do you attain or acquire wisdom? Fear the Lord and passionately pursue wisdom. Thirdly, take God at His word. Fourthly, be observant, develop the art of observation. And fifthly, the way of the wise. I want wisdom. And the Bible says pursue it. So we as believers in God should be pursuers of wisdom. So how do we acquire wisdom? Number one, fear the Lord. Number two, passionately pursue it. Number three, take God at His word. Number four, develop observation. And number five, be a learner. That's why this month we are setting aside the time to go through Proverbs. And by the end of this week, I guarantee you will know that there are six things that the Lord hates and that there are seven that are detestable to Him. And they are haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours forth lies, and a man or a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Thank you, I nearly said dissension amongst brothers. Conflict in the community. May we walk in wisdom. May we have eyes to see the rubbish around us as we go forth into our world and clean up. Bless you. I pray that this month is rich for us as a community of believers. See you soon.